Once again, Daniel 9, I'm going to read verse 24 to the end. I'm reading verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish their transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring an everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolator. And I'll stop with the reading here. Last meeting together, when we have been together, we have dealt really already with verse 24 with the revelation that God had given Daniel through the angel concerning the future chastening of God, God's chastening of his beloved nation, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. You remember, just to remind you, because I need it for myself to be freshly reminded of what we have been speaking about, you remember that God, that Daniel have realized it, by the time we arrived to chapter 9, that the 70 years that God had promised to take Israel and to discipline them for 70 years in Babylon are nearing the end. Daniel was searching in books. He was finding in a prophet Jeremiah that the time of the dealing of the of God chastening of Israel is going to end now. And in chapter 9, from the beginning all the way to verse 19, he was praying to God. He was beseeching God. He was confessing his sins and the sins of the nation in view of the restoration of the people. The time is coming. God, now you can restore your people Israel back to the land. Well, through the angel, God was giving to Daniel an answer. God was telling him that, yes, he is going to restore Israel, but God wanted to show Daniel that there is additional certain period of time whereby God is going now not only to restore Israel as he had done that at the end of the Babylonian captivity, but now he is giving to Daniel instruction how God was going to restore Israel not only to the time where they will go back to the land for a short time, but ultimately until the time of the end where Israel will finally be restored. So Daniel needed to learn this very important lesson, that there is an additional 70 times 7 years of God chastening of his people, the nation of Israel. So, as Daniel have asked for this, confessed the sins, the sins of the nation, and then Gabriel coming and he begin to give him this instruction, the revelation that God was going to give to Daniel concerning future restoration of Israel, but it involved a time of discipline. So, if you remember, we have began with verse 24, and we have covered verse 24. If we are to understand this, one of the most important prophecies in the Bible concerning the nation of Israel, we call it the 70 weeks of Daniel, chapter 9. We must understand certain things that are laid before us here in this chapter. Verse 24, we had three things that we have learned in verse 24. Number one, that this prophecy deals totally with Israel and with the city of Jerusalem. Number two, that this prophecy will take the time, a certain time, which will be really 70 times 7, which is 490 years long. We have covered that already. And number three, that these 490 years long will be important, will be necessary in order to accomplish six things concerning the nation of Israel. And you remember those six things are found in verse 24 as well. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. These three things that I have just mentioned right now, all of them are found in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9. Now, just I want to highlight one more time in verse 24. Notice it says, 70 weeks are determined upon your people. 70 times 7, the word for week here is not a week of a daily week, because in Hebrew, Shavua or Shavuot has to do with weeks of days. But the word here is not Shavuot, but Shavuim. And Shavuim simply means sevens. It's just like you say dozens, a dozen eggs, or something like in English, you would say something that has a certain number that is obvious. A dozen eggs, or a dozen, anything that you have in mind. And simply it means here, 77s. 77s of what? We have already established in the book of Daniel, especially chapter 7, chapter 9, we are dealing with years. So 77 simply means 70 times 7 means 490 years. So 490 years will be necessary to deal and to restore Israel back to the Lord, to deal with the nation of Israel and to restore Israel. Now as you look at this chart here, something that is very interesting and very important for us to understand in this chart, don't look so much at the dotted line here. We are interested in the straight line here. This straight line. It stops here and it continues right here. And so as you look at this chart, we're going to look at this this evening, we are concerned specifically in this chapter of verses 24 to verse 27 with the straight line. Not so much with the dotted line, because the dotted line here deals with the church age. When we look at this chart, it takes us from the time of the dealing with the nation of Israel, this 70 times 7, 490 years, is from the beginning to the end, and yet there is a break in between, which we know as today is called the church age. Now, we want to move to verse 25. Let's take it quickly, a point at a time, so we can get some help. Now, in verse 25, we have two things to learn there, in verse 25. The first thing that we learn in verse 25, that this prophecy will have a special starting point. How do we know when that prophecy will start? Remember, from Daniel's point of timing, Daniel was still looking to the future. That's why the angel telling him in verse 25, know therefore this is to Daniel, and understand that from, notice the word from, if you will underline the word from, that is giving us the timing in which this prophecy is going to begin. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62, this is 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Now this is very interesting verse, this is verse 25. This prophecy will have a special starting point. What is the starting point? Notice it says here, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now here we have a little bit of a problem. The commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem is the time of the starting point of the 490 years of God chastening of his beloved nation, the nation of Israel. It's starting from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Now, of course, we know from history that there was more than one time a proclamation of the restoration of the people of Israel back to the land. And that's why some scholars, some believers differ on the beginning of the 490 years, but I would like to suggest this evening that most of the people whom I'm aware of and I know and I've learned from and I'm reading their material do believe that this is from the commandment that Artaxerxes gave to Nehemiah in 445-444 BC. That will be the starting point of the 490 years of God chastening of the people of Israel. And so I'd like you to go back for a minute to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Nehemiah, chapter 2. Why most people believe that it's coming, the beginning, the starting point is the commandment of Artaxerxes to Nehemiah to go to restore and to rebuild the city is because the earlier Cyrus who have called to go to the Jewish people to go back to the land to build, if you will, to go back to worship the Lord, has to do more with the worship and the building of the temple, while when it's come to Nehemiah, it has to do more with the city and the walls of the city. Notice this, I'm going to read Nehemiah chapter 2 and the first few verses. And it came to pass, this is verse 1 of chapter 2 of Nehemiah. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, this is March or April, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, this is about 444-445 BC, we have here about March 444-445 BC, that the king, that wine was before him. And I, this is Nehemiah speaking, took up the wine and I gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time said in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, notice that, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? The king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant had found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. Notice, it concerns here with not so much the building of the temple, but the building of the city. Verse 6, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it pleased the king, let letters be given to me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judea. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Let's stop here. You see, Nehemiah apparently was a cupbearer. He was the one that will taste the wine before the king will taste the wine, lest somebody will poison the king. Well, as the king was, wine was before him, we read in chapter 2, King Artaxerxes, then what's happened is that he looked at Nehemiah who was serving him, and Nehemiah's face was kind of sad. And he looks at him, and the king, knowing this servant Nehemiah, and he's saying to him, you know, why is your countenance sad? Why are you sad? And you know, Nehemiah loved his people, loved the nation, loved the city, and loved the place where his forefathers have been, all the history of the nation of Israel. Nehemiah was so burdened and concerned with his people and with the city and the condition that the city is existing, that his face was sad. You know, it is, if we make it a spiritual application for us, when we look at the condition of the people of God and the spiritual state of God's people, we also have to have some kind of sadness in our hearts. That's the kind of condition that Nehemiah had been at. And so the king asking him, Nehemiah, why are you so sad? And then Nehemiah tell him the truth. He said to him, you know, he said, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? In verse 3. Look at the condition. The city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lies in waste. And the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Why shouldn't I be sad? Well, the king saw his concern, and he asked him, what do you request? What is your request? You know, I think one of the shortest prayers in the Bible, perhaps, for us to kind of a quick talk to God is really found right here in Nehemiah 2 and verse 4. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king. Nehemiah didn't have much time. He probably said, Lord, help me. And immediately he went and he said what he wants from the king. And he was talking to the king, and he's saying to the king, you know, if it pleased the king, and if thy servant found favor in thy sight, that you would send me unto Judea, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. And Artaxerxes gave him a command to go to build the city and the walls. Notice how many times, by the way, in this particular chapter, chapter 2, the word city and the word gates and the word wall is mentioned. Let me just highlight this for you. In verse 3, it's mentioned city in the middle and gates at the end. in verse 5, he mentioned that thou would send me to Judah and to the city of my father, my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. In verse 8, it's mentioned, give me timber to make beams for the gates and of the palace, which appertain to the house and for the wall of the city. If you go down to verse 13, which I did not read, it said at the end that he viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof, which were consumed with fire. Notice down, if you go to verse 17, and you notice it says, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem layeth waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And so that is the purpose that Nehemiah have gone to Jerusalem, to rebuild the wall and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. So the starting point that we have in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25 was from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. That is the starting point. So if you, in your mind, can have that. Now, I know some others believe that it is the time where Cyrus gave the command to in the book of Ezra, in chapter 1, where Zerubbabel have gone up to Jerusalem about 539 BC. Some believe that this is the date, but most Bible scholars also do believe that it was 445, 444 BC from the commandment to restore and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. So if we learn this from this verse, the first part of verse 25, the starting point will be 444, 445 BC, the commandment of Artaxerxes to Nehemiah about the month of March. 445, 444 BC is the starting point. The next thing that we learn in verse 25, if you go back now to Daniel chapter 9, is that not only that this prophecy will have a special starting point, but also this prophecy will give us the time of the Messiah's appearing to the nation of Israel. Notice how interesting. Verse 25 now, verse 25b, it says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto, here's the unto what? Unto the Messiah, the Prince. The Messiah, the Prince. Now, how much time is going to be? Notice it says here, it shall be 7 weeks. We know that 7 weeks means 7 times 7, it's 49. And then he said, and 62 weeks, 62 times 7 is 400, and if you put it together, 434, 49 plus 434 is 483 years. So what we really get here is that, and let me show you, it's right here. I think it's easier to look at the chart here. Notice we said 445 BC is the starting point. Then we have 49 years. You remember? That's what it says here in verse 40, verse 25. There will be unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. Here's the 7 weeks. And then 62 weeks, which is 434. So if you add 49 plus 434, here we have the end. It will be 69. 7 plus 62 make it 69 weeks. 69 weeks equal 483 years together. In other words, from 445 BC unto the coming of the Messiah, there will be 483 total.
Now, if you figure out 483 years from 445, we are coming to approximately, some get to about 32 A.D. 31, 32 A.D. Now, don't ask me how people calculate it. Remember one thing, that in the olden biblical calculation of the days of the month and the year, it's not like we have it today. It is a 30-day month, which is 360 a day year. And so if we figure all this together, from the 445 to the appearing of the Messiah, the Prince, when he would appear to the nation of Israel, 483 years will pass away. Now, just some points to mention. There was a man by the name of Sir Robert Anderson. I have just read a little bit about him and heard about him. He was apparently from the Scotland Yard. He was apparently a detective in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and apparently he have calculated, and that's what a lot of believers are taking it and acknowledging the fact that the calculation from 445 BC all the way to about 32 AD, it is exactly 69 times 7, 69 weeks, 483 years, biblical years. Figuring out how you transfer from BC to AD, how you calculate it, how you calculate it, you shift it from BC to AD, and then also calculating the days, it is approximately coming to about March, sometime March in 32 AD. Now, let me just give you some verses that are very, very important to look at. If you go to the prophet Zechariah for a minute, Zechariah chapter 9. Notice that the angel telling Daniel in verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem from 445 BC unto the Messiah the Prince." This expression, Messiah the Prince, really is imply here that he was appearing before the nation, before our people, before the Jewish people, before the nation of Israel as the Prince of Israel, the King of Israel. Notice what the prophet Zechariah said in chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 9. "How will Israel know that their Messiah, their King, is appearing? How will they recognize their King?" Well, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your King cometh unto thee. He is just, and he is having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." When the prophet Zechariah was telling to the people of Israel, how will they recognize their King, their Prince, the Messiah? When the Messiah will come in his first coming, he will come riding upon a donkey, riding into the city of Jerusalem, exclaiming that he is the promised Messiah, Mashiach of Israel, the promised Messiah, the Redeemer of the nation of Israel. And so Zechariah had mentioned it prophetically, speaking about the coming, the first coming of the Messiah, when he was going to appear before the nation of Israel. Now please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 19, also, Luke chapter 19. In verse 41, Luke 19, in verse 41. "Did Israel acknowledge and recognize the Messiah at his first coming?" Notice what we read.
in this particular Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to read verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. And he said, if thou hast known, even you, at least in this thy day, the thing which belong unto thy peace, unto thy shalom, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You see, it is interesting. If you notice in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 to 44, there are two words here that are really has to do specifically with the nation of Israel. Notice in verse 42, saying, if thou hast known, even thou at least, in this thy day. The word thy day, it was Israel's day. The things which belong unto thy shalom, unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And at the end of verse 44, it says here that they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time, underline the word the time of thy visitation. From the angel, from God, a revelation concerning the coming of the Messiah. The first coming, but also the second coming, which will be later on in the future day. But by the time we are studying Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25, in verse 25 we have learned those two things. Number one, the prophecy will have a special starting point, 444, 445 B.C. Number two, what we learn in this particular verse 25, is that the Messiah will appear to Israel as the prince. And he's going to appear, you see, the triumphant entry, when he will ride into the city, appearing before the nation of Israel. Will they acknowledge him as the prince? Will they acknowledge him as the king? And then he told them in this prophecy that we have just, in this passage we just read in Luke 19, he said, and they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because you did not know the time of thy visitation. God was visiting the nation of Israel in the person of the Mashiach. Israel did not know the time of this visitation. And so when the Messiah came in, and when the Messiah appeared, as it says here, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass. When he appeared before the nation as the multitude, remember they said, Hosanna to the son of David. But the spiritual leaders of the nation of Israel did not acknowledge that this is the promised Messiah that our people have waited for so many years. And so, if you just go back once again to Daniel chapter 9, you will notice that it says here, from verse 25, unto, from 445 B.C., unto Messiah the Prince, the triumphal entry of the Messiah, when the Messiah would come and appear before the nation of Israel as the Prince, as the King of the nation of Israel. So the total length of time from the beginning of this prophecy, from the starting point up till the time of the Messiah's appearing to the nation of Israel, will elapse 49 years plus 434 years, together 483 years will pass of the nation of Israel. So the total length of time from the beginning of this prophecy, from the starting point up till the time of the Messiah's appearing to the nation of Israel, will elapse 49 years plus 434 years, together 483 years will pass. Which means 483 years equal 7 plus 62 weeks, 69 weeks of the total 70 weeks of Daniel chapter 9. This is very important to understand. Now, let me just mention it in light of this chart. All this is history. Those 69 weeks have run their course. It's over. 445 BC, Nehemiah did go. They did rebuild the walls, all the way to the time that we are in. We are in the time about 31, 32 AD. The Messiah did appear. He was not received, and eventually he was crucified. He was cut off, and he died. That's is history. And again, I want to point you to the straight line here, because everything here, what we are talking about up till verse 25 so far, have dealt with the fact that the appearing of the Messiah to the nation of Israel, 69 weeks will be passing by. Now there's one more thing that I want to emphasize here in these verses is when the Messiah did appear in his first coming, we know from other passages of Scripture that God foretold the fact that through Isaiah, that when he will appear, Israel as a nation will not recognize that he is truly the Messiah. And you remember the prophet Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid upon him the iniquities of us all." The prophets did know that when the Messiah will appear in his first coming, the nation of Israel will not acknowledge him. And you know, it is important, because had Israel acknowledged him as the Messiah, all the work of redemption that God had in mind for Israel and for the nations of the world would not happen, because he must be rejected. He must go to the tree, to the altar, to pay the penalty for sin. And he sure did so when he came into this world. Now, let's look to the next verses quickly. In the next verses now, verse 26, we have three things that we learn in verse 26 now. And that's what I've just began. First of all, you notice that the word after. Notice the word after in verse 26. After 62 weeks. After, look again at the chart, please, for a second. Here it is. 64. This is after the 62 weeks will be over. In other words, after the 434 years will pass. Then it says here, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. In other words, after the second, you know, it's divided for us this way. 49 years, 434 years. After this second part of this section, Messiah will be cut off. And you know, it is important, because here Daniel chapter 9 gives us the timing. Even if we do not know it to the day, I'm sure God knows it to the day, even if we have a problem to calculate the exact day, but one thing for sure we do have
is that God had promised in the scripture through Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26 that by the time that 483 years pass from 445 BC, Messiah will be cut off. And sure enough, we see here where the Messiah died on the cross, on a Roman cross, died for the sin of this world. This is exactly what John the Baptizer, Yohanan HaMadbil, we call him in Hebrew, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world." Here, he took upon himself, he was cut off from the land of the living. It says here in verse 26, Messiah, and here is the Hebrew word Mashiach. Mashiach. Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Or in Hebrew it says, Ve'ein lo, or have nothing. In other words, when he died, he did not die because of his sin, he died because of the sin of this world. And he had nothing. Nothing. This is the next thing that we learn. Messiah was cut off. Now, I have some verses I want to link with it. Please, if you don't mind, to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. And verse 21. Matthew, chapter 16. In verse 21, look at the things that are told, we read in scripture about his passion, that he's going to suffer, he's going to die. Verse 21 of Matthew chapter 16, from that time forth began Yeshua to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. He already prophesied, he himself said to his disciples, that's what is going to happen to me. I know that. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things, and I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise again on the third day. Go to 1 Peter for a minute also, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21.
First Peter what?
1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21, for even thereunto were ye called, because Messiah or Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. You were healed. Now notice that Peter is speaking also about the Messiah being cut off, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And you of course know the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 in verse 8, where we read, it pleased, let me just, I probably will not quote it correct, Isaiah 53 and verse 8, let me just read that verse as well. Isaiah 53 and verse 8 we read, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was, here's this expression, he was cut off
out of the land of the living. And Isaiah continues and he says, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Isaiah's people were the people of Israel, and the Messiah was cut off for the transgression of Isaiah's people. And of course, again, remember, the text in Isaiah and the text in Daniel has specific reference to the nation of Israel, but we know from elsewhere that the death of the Messiah was enough to deal with the question of sin of the whole world, not only the nation of Israel. But in these particular texts, he has in mind specifically to deal with the question of sin with respect to the nation of Israel. Now quickly, go back to Daniel, chapter 9. Messiah was cut off, verse 26a. Notice the second thing we learn in verse 26. Now this is very important if we are to understand the prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. If you notice that, it's now we learn from the same verse, verse 26, that the last 7 years, or the last week that we are still missing to finish 70 weeks, are not following immediately after the first 69 weeks. The last week is not following immediately after the first 69 weeks. Let me say it in years. In the last 7 years of Daniel, Daniel prophecy do not follow immediately the 483 years that have already gone by. There is something that come in between. And so notice what we read in verse 26. And after 62 weeks, Messiah should be cut off, but not for himself. And now notice. And the people of the prince that shall come. The prince that shall come. Now he's talking about another prince altogether. The people of the prince that shall come. This prince is the future Antichrist, as we call him in Hebrew, Mashiach Sheker, the counterfeit Messiah, the false Messiah. The people of the Antichrist, or of the Mashiach Sheker, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with flood, and unto the end of the war desolation are determined. Now, let's just pause here for a moment. You remember what I said, that 69 weeks have ended at the appearing of the Messiah, and also the death of the Messiah on behalf of mankind, the nation of Israel and mankind. But then what we find out, that the people of the prince that shall come are going to destroy the city and to destroy the sanctuary. Now remember again, when Daniel was looking for the restoration of Israel, the temple already had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Now that temple is going to have to be rebuilt. That city is going to be rebuilt. And so what we learn here from this verse is that there will arise a prince which is really the Antichrist, the future counterfeit Messiah, Mashiach Sheker, but his people are going to destroy, as it says here, the city and the sanctuary. When does that happen? Well, in 70 AD, Jerusalem and the sanctuary had been destroyed by Titus, the Roman army who came to the city of Jerusalem and completely destroyed the city and burned the temple. It says that when Titus had burned the temple in Jerusalem, he literally did not allow one stone to remain upon another. There was so much gold there that they would want to take all the gold out of every crevice of the particular walls of the city of Jerusalem, specifically the temple. And in 70 AD, Jerusalem and the sanctuary had been destroyed completely. But now we get a clue. One thing we get a clue here, that the prince that will come in the future, this is the counterfeit Messiah, the false Messiah, he's going to be from the people that will come and destroy in 70 AD the city of Jerusalem and the temple, the sanctuary, which is found in the city of Jerusalem. And that is the Roman. The Romans have done so. So what we learn here, a clue here, that the Antichrist, the origin of the Antichrist, he will really have a Roman origin. And so the future Antichrist, you know, there's all kind of debates, who the Messiah is going to come from, and who will he be, from which nation, and so on. Some believe that he will be a Jewish man. Some believe he will be a Gentile. But we get here a clue that the prince that shall come, the people of that prince will destroy the city and will destroy the sanctuary in the city of Jerusalem. And that's origin is Roman origin. Now, elsewhere, for example, in Revelation chapter 13, we have the two beasts. We have the political ruler and we have the religious ruler. And we see the political ruler, which is the first beast of the first 10 verses in Revelation chapter 13. He's the one which is really the counterfeit Messiah, the false Messiah, Mashiach Sheker, we say in Hebrew. He's the one that is the political ruler. But then we have also a religious ruler, which is the counterfeit Holy Spirit, if you will. He is the false prophet who send and pull everyone to worship the first beast, to worship and to bow before him. And so what we really see here, especially in Revelation 12 and 13, just the same like we have the true God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we have the counterfeit Godhead, Satan, seeking to be God the Father, counterfeit God the Father. The first beast, seeking to be counterfeit, or if you will, he is the counterfeit God the Son. And the second beast in Revelation chapter 13, counterfeit God the Holy Spirit. The counterfeit Godhead, the false Godhead we see in Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 13. Here we see that there will be the prince, the future prince that shall come, his people will destroy the city and will also destroy the sanctuary. It says here, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And symbolically, the word flood in scripture often has to do with military invasion. And it is exactly what happened in 70 AD, where the Roman military invaded the whole land. And you know, it's the massacre. So many Jewish people have died in 70 AD when the temple had been destroyed and when the city had been destroyed. They say about 1,100,000 Jews have been killed in 70 AD by Titus, by the Romans who came down to the city of Jerusalem. Now quickly, we want to finish with it now. The third thing that we learn in verse 27 right now, first one we learn the Messiah will be cut off. Secondly, we learn that the seventh week or the 7 years do not follow immediately after the 483 years because some other things are going to happen immediately. And then finally, we find out in verse 26 that the people that will destroy Jerusalem will have this their own prince, and this is that Antichrist. Notice again, it says in verse 26, and unto the end of the war there will be desolation are determined. In other words, that prince will come later on in the future, but what's going to happen is that the people will destroy the city. And you know, sometimes we don't see a gap in when we look at a passage, but there is a gap between the time when the people will destroy the city and when the prince will appear in the future day. How do we know that there will be a gap? Various times in the Bible, we see gaps in various verses. For example, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 tells us. Remember that I'll read that because I'm going to probably misquote it. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Let me read you just this verse quickly. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That is when the Messiah was born. That is when the Messiah was given. The Son of God had been given. But then it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That has nothing to do with the first coming of the Messiah. That has to do with the second coming of the Messiah. But in one verse, we have, there's a gap here in between. In one verse we see the child that is born, the son that is given, but also we see that the government will be upon his shoulder. That takes us all the way to the second coming of the Messiah, when he's finally going to come and he's going to be acknowledged as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, because we have gaps, you also have it in Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. In chapter 9, verse 9, you see his first coming. We read it already. In verse 10, we have his second coming. So there's a gap here. Look at the chart again. 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and here's the gap. The gap here is the present day church age in which you and I live in. It's already over 2,000 years since the time that the Messiah died, he rose again, and you remember the Holy Spirit of God came in Acts chapter 2 and formed what we know as the body of Messiah, the body of Christ. The church age, or the ecclesia age, the called out one age had begun after the resurrection of the Messiah and the coming of the Holy Spirit of God to unite believers and to put us into one body. From here, Pentecost, you see, all the way to the beginning of the last 7 years, this is what we know called as the church age. You and I are presently in this church age. And we are waiting, of course, the only thing that is waiting after 1 Thessalonians, after the rapture of the church, then finally will be the beginning of the last 7 years, or the last week of Daniel chapter 9's prophecy. Now, let me wrap it all up now so we can finish with this chapter. in verse 27, that's the last verse, and with this we're going to conclude. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. Two things we learn from verse 27. The first thing, it says here that when the Antichrist will appear, when he's going to appear? He's going to appear at the beginning of the final 70th week of Daniel. Notice it says here in verse 27. He, by the way, of verse 27, is the prince of verse 26. The counterfeit Messiah, the Mashiach Sheker. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now let's pause here, please, for a minute. This counterfeit Messiah is going to come and he's going to appear here and he's going to make a covenant for 7 years with the many. The many here has to do with the Jewish people, the people of Israel. He's going to make a covenant. So, how do we know when the 7 years, the final 7 years will start, when they're going to start? Well, there got to be a covenant made between the Antichrist, Mashiach Sheker, and the many from the people of Israel. We do not know when it's going to happen, but one thing we do know, the starting point of the final 70th week of Daniel will have to be with the signing of a covenant. An agreement between Mashiach Sheker, the false Messiah, the counterfeit Messiah, and the many from among the people of Israel. There will be a signing of a covenant, an agreement. And the agreement will be, you know what, Israel? I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Build the temple. Have everything set up. I will take care of you. The people of Israel today will ask, even just as being in Israel right now, one thing the conservative Jewish people want today, we want a temple, we want the temple mount, we want to establish the sacrificial system as soon as possible. Well, the counterfeit Messiah will say, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I will take care of you. You will be able to establish your temple, your rituals, your blood sacrifice. We are going to deal with it. You're going to be able, I'm going to make a covenant with you. That is the starting point of the final 70th week, or the final 7 years of Daniel's prophecy. Then, what's going to happen? What is going to happen, that in the middle of the 7 years, he is going to break this covenant. Again, notice here, he shall confirm the covenant with the many for 1 week, for 7 years. And in the middle of the 7 years of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, remember, we are dealing here with a covenant which will be made with the many of the people of Israel for 1 week, for 7 years, but in the middle, he's going to stop this covenant, which means that the sacrificial system will cease. He will stop the sacrificial system. And you know what? At that particular time, we know it from other passages, he's going to situate himself in the temple, claiming to be God. I don't want to go over with this because of our time, but if you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's going to claim to be God, he's going to sit in the temple. In fact, there will be two stages to this abomination of desolation. Stage number one, the counterfeit Messiah going to situate himself in the temple claiming to be God. In other words, he will stop the sacrificial system offered to the true God. He is going to expect worship and offering to himself. And then after that, the second stage of the abomination of desolation is going to be an image set by the counterfeit, by the false prophets, Revelation chapter 13, placed an image in the temple, and the people of Israel will ask them to worship and to bow to that image. And so what's going to happen when the Antichrist will appear? He will appear at the beginning of the tribulation period. This is the final seven years of Daniel's prophecy, which we know elsewhere called as Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. He's going to appear, he's going to make a covenant. In the middle of the 7 years, he's going to break that covenant. And finally, just to finalize that, what will the Antichrist do? Well, look at this. Three things. He will make a covenant, we said. That's number one. He will break the covenant. We said it. This is number two. And number three, he will commit the abomination of desolation, which we read here. Notice, he shall confirm the covenant with the many for 1 week, for 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And notice that, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. Even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolator. In other words, judgment will come eventually upon him as well. But he will commit what is known from elsewhere, the abomination which brings about desolation. Now, to close this meeting, just look at the whole chart one more time. We are not dealing with really the dotted line. We are dealing with the straight line. 490 years are determined upon the nation of Israel. The starting point will be 445 BC. The appearing of the Messiah and as a prince to Israel will be 483 years later. Then the Messiah will be cut off, not for himself. Then immediately following, by 70 AD, Jerusalem will be destroyed. The sanctuary will be destroyed by the Roman army. Then we have a long period of time, which is yet we are part of this time, the church age. We do not know when, but when the rapture of the saints, of the heavenly company, the church, will happen. And it could be at any time. when you and I, as believers in Yeshua the Messiah, are going to be taken out of here, sometimes, we do not when, we do not know when, but there will be a signing of a covenant. The prince that shall come, Antichrist, will appear. He will make a covenant with the many of the people of Israel. And then in the middle of the covenant that he's going to make for 7 years, he will break the covenant in the middle of it. And then he will commit what is called the abomination which make it desolate. He will sit at the temple claiming to be God. Then an image will be set at the temple and people will be asked to be worshipping that image until finally the judgment of God will fall upon this particular Antichrist, and Israel as a nation will ultimately be restored. Those six things that mentioned in verse 24 will apply specifically to the nation of Israel, and as a nation, Israel will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will finally recognize that Yeshua, Jesus, is truly the promised Messiah of Israel and the Savior of this world. That is the 70 weeks of Daniel chapter 9.